I am speaking with Yoel Halevi. Usually Yoel Ben Shlomo, but we're not doing Light of the Prophets today. We're just doing a quick update because where are you, my friend?
I'm actually in Pennsylvania.
You're in Pennsylvania. I saw some photos. Currently, Yoel, let me tell you, I'm looking out of the studio window now, and I'm looking out over a scorching field, and sheep are walking past me. You know, absolutely, they look like they should be on fire. It's just so hot here and so dry. What are you looking out onto?
Snow. Lots and lots of snow. The big joke is that when I left home the day, I actually have been away from home longer because we had to leave because of the snow. And I actually, first of all, I've not slept more than 4 to 5 hours for over a week.
So your eyes are hanging out of your head, right?
More or less, yeah. Part of it has to do with jet lag. Part of it has to do with how different the United States is from Israel. It's very, very different. I mean, Israel's very small, very simple, and as not as intense. I after almost a week of running around, I remember we went to a wedding, and part of the wedding party wasn't just attending a wedding. I was part of it. I had to wear a suit, and they marched me around. It was really strange. It wasn't like an Israeli wedding. It was very official and everything.
Wow.
And it was an amazing wedding. I mean, this was done in Boston, in the Marriott Hotel in Boston. It was amazing. I mean, it was an amazing wedding. It was very, very happy. It was very difficult for me. This is a piece of information I'm able to share these days. Because of a lot of the closure that we've had as a family. I mean, this wasn't just going to a wedding. This was a lot more complex than just attending a wedding, because my wedding, for example, there was no one there for me except for my brother. And this was because of a technical issue, a legal technical issue the lawyer made a mistake with. So my parents couldn't even fly out back to Israel to attend the wedding.
So this was a visa thing, right?
It was a visa issue because they were there, and they applied for a green card, but there was a certain issue in the green card where you request the ability to be absent from the United States for short periods of time if necessary, and not to do this. And this is the first time we're all together after over 12 years. It's very, very difficult. It was very difficult in the beginning. Now it's a lot easier. We basically, one night we just sat down together as a family, and we just, it all clicked back, and we were behaving as if nothing happened.
Wow.
So, it's
great. And so the wedding went really well, and, it was a full family event, which is a wonderful thing. And obviously it was indoors, right? It was indoors. I mean, I don't know much about Boston, but I assume it snows there too, right?
Yes.
Okay, because to bring everyone up to speed, hang on. We tried on numerous occasions to do another, before you left, a couple of times we tried to do another Light of the Prophets episode, and we couldn't do it, Yoel, because there was water coming through the windows, it was flooding all around, there was rain, incredible, spectacular rain that was coming down. You were in awe of what was happening, even though it was flooding into your house. You couldn't stop giggling, but you were... You had to keep going and mopping up water and things like that, and just going, I just can't believe it. But shortly after that, it started snowing. And so then there was an incredible snowfall around Jerusalem. Now, when was the last time it snowed like this in Israel?
It's been a couple of years. We did not have weather like this for a while. I mean, I called up my wife just before I boarded the plane, and she said it snowed, and this is in the middle of the desert. So this is very, very serious. They were talking, I think, about something like, I think it was something like 6 inches of snow, I think, that's what I heard in Jerusalem, Jerusalem area. It's incredible. I mean, and it went on. I spoke with my wife just after the wedding or something like that. I mean, I remember I'm jet lagged, so I'm not recovering that quickly. So I don't exactly remember everything. time is all off.
Time's a big blur.
I called up my wife, I think it was yesterday, and she said to me, "The sun is finally out." That's after a week and a half of no sun. Of no sun. So this was an intense storm. I mean, we literally had to run away. My brother and I ran away from the mountain area to the coastal plain to avoid the storm. And when I boarded the plane, it was pouring.
Really?
It was extremely windy.
And there was, so there was spectacular rain, then there was spectacular snow. Now you're over in the States, and it is still snowing. What are some of the, just curiously, Yoel, because you've never been to the States before, right? What are some of the things that stand out to you?
Wow. First of all, it's a huge place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Israel is very, very, very small. It's a huge. I mean, we drive around. You know, in Israel, you go for a drive, you know, 2-3 hours. You know, the longest drive I ever did in Israel was from the Haria, which is in the north, all the way to Eilat, and that took about 7 hours. But that's because the type of roads and the systems in Israel. I was in a car. I didn't really drive, but I was in a car for about 4.5 hours with my parents, mm-hmm. with the same distance, and that was like a fraction.
Yeah, so really.
It was kind of shocking for me. Also, the quantities of water. I mean, this is a northeast area, basically traveling from Massachusetts. We traveled from Massachusetts, Long Island, Connecticut, and then New York State into Jersey. Mm-hmm. And now, after Jersey, I'm actually now in Pennsylvania. And I was, you know, these huge rivers, and everything's just a lot bigger. And which brings me to the other point, consumption. It's shocking. I walked in. I did something very simple. I went to hang out with my brother. I have a younger brother who used to sleep with me in the same room. I mean, we just shared a room, and we used to talk a lot. And I wanted to bond with him. You know, we haven't been in touch. We haven't really spoken. He's very, very busy. He has a master's in civil engineering, so he works a lot, many hours, and we don't really get along. We don't get time to talk. So I would just decide to take the car, my dad's car, and go for a ride. And we're talking, and we said, I said to him, listen, a lot of American friends of mine said to me, I kept asking me if we have something like a Walmart in Israel. And I've never seen a Walmart. So I said to him, let me go see what a Walmart is. You know, I'm fed up of hearing about it. Let's see what it is. And he says to me, well, there's a small Walmart. Now, this small Walmart was about the size of a shopping mall in Israel. And this is just a store. You know,
and that's a small one.
And that was a small one. I walked into it. What my brother said was a big one. I walked into one today, which was considered to be big. And I went, I mean, and this thing was even bigger. And when we arrived, I mean, when we drove towards the mountain area that we're at the moment, we drove by, my dad points out and says, okay, you want to see what American consumption is? He points out, not in a negative way, by the way. You know, my dad's not negative about the United States. He just said, you know, living in Israel, look at the difference. Again, you have to remember, the United States is much, much, much. I mean, there are areas where there are more people living in a certain area than in the entire state of Israel. So, yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue of also the size of the country. It's not necessarily an issue of the United States. It's just, you know, eats. It's a very, very big country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we drove by this mall. And this thing was, you know, it took up the space of, which was, I think, bigger than the village I live in. I mean, this was a shopping center, and I think it was, if not bigger, maybe the same size as the village I live in, which is, you know, this is big for just a shopping center. It's just part of what I'm seeing. There's also a lot of issues, and Israel were very, very blunt. And in the United States, you know, you have to be politically correct. I actually offended someone, which was kind of embarrassing.
But it's true, isn't it? I mean, just culturally speaking, in Israel, people are straight to the point. There's no mucking around. They're blunt. They're straight to the point. There's no sugarcoating anything. This is the answer. If you don't like it, you asked. So what are you going to do? But in Australia and in America, I guess we're a little bit more, we like to sugarcoat our answers, and we're politically correct, and we're perhaps what we might regard as a little bit more polite conversationally. So you got yourself into trouble, did you?
No, I apologize. It was fine. It was okay. But there are a couple of things which I really see as a plus. There's a very, very high, well-organized system in the United States. There is criticism about some things, about the federal law and stuff like that. But, you know, on the micro level of an experience, you walk into a store. Just as an example, I walked into a certain store and I was looking for a certain item I can't find in Israel. I walked in and I was looking for it, and everyone was extremely helpful. Now, this is one of the differences. I was actually talking with my brother's brother-in-law, basically married to one of the sisters of my new sister-in-law, And we talked about, he's an American, but he lives in Israel, and we're talking about the differences. And one of the points was that in Israel, if you walk into a store, no one really cares if you need anything. You know, it's to a level where he basically said, you know, you walk up to someone and you say, I need help. And he's looking, what do you want from me? You know, those are things, you know, that's actually something I was very, 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 very happy about. This was one thing I said, I was talking to people and I said, there's one thing I would like to import to Israel, you know, several things. First of all, the concept of customer service. I, as a chef, have always spoken about the issue of someone paying me money to give them a service. I want to give them the best service I can. Same thing I hold by when I do my work as a Hebrew teacher. I try the best as I can. You know, sometimes a person's needs is not exactly what you can answer, but you at least try to give them as much as you can. I mean, it's rare that I can't do my job with a certain person, but it has happened in the past. But you try to do your best, and you try to be very polite about things and stuff like that. And this is something I would really love to bring to Israel. The other thing is the issue of variety. In Israel, there is still a bit of that communist type of mindset where you try to limit the customers in what they can consume and stuff like that. I wish they just, you know, break that up and allow more things to flood into Israel. You know, just as examples, also taxation. I mean, I walked into a grocery store to buy a certain item that does exist in Israel, and I could buy twice the size for the same price as it will cost in Israel. So, you know, there are things I would love if they bring it over. But on the other hand, I'm watching, for example, I wrote something about television, and I have my opinion about Israeli television, which I think is just nonsense. But I decided, okay, I went into the hotel. There's a TV there, so I wanted to see what does American television look like, and it was very, very strange to me. And I actually spoke with several doctors, and there were several doctors present in the wedding, and we talked about this issue of all these drug commercials. And they said to me that doctors actually can't stand it because it kind of, you know, it causes people to be convinced that what they have to do is take a pill and they'll be better. You know, you want a diet, here's a pill. You want this, you do that, instead of fixing the real problems. And then on the other hand, you have that. And then on the other hand, you have all these ads for exercise material, which is funny. You know, so the ones who exercise don't really need any of this stuff because they anyhow exercise and go to the gym. And the ones that exercise is directed to are the people that anyhow don't care, and they're anyhow going to take this pill because their stomach aches. So instead of changing their diet, which will anyhow cause them to be healthier and cause them to want to move, and maybe even give them those amazing bodies they try to show in the ads. You know, so I was just one night I couldn't fall asleep, so I was just, you know, watching ads to see what American television is about. You know, it's different. It's very, very different.
Sure. So it sounds really different. I mean, so what you're telling me is that the thing that jumped out at you when you were watching television was the advertising. You were surprised at how much medication was advertised on television. That surprises me, actually, but I suppose it shouldn't be. But it's not that like that so much here in Australia, but also the amount of exercise equipment that's advertised. And I suppose the message that we often repeat over and over again on the cultured Karaite is eat well, eat correctly the first time, and allow the food that Yehovah has made for us to heal us and to keep us healthy.
Exactly.
And that's certainly a message that seems to have gone amiss, generally speaking, in Western culture.
I've been hearing a lot about this issue of juicing and stuff like that. And I actually tried it a couple of times. We were staying with this wonderful family, which will remain nameless for this case. But they do juicing. The wife does a juice every morning, and my body was singing and dancing for when I was drinking. It was amazing. So I'm now hooked on juicing. So when I go back home, I'm going to buy a juicer. But
hey, you know,
there are a lot of people out there that do understand the issue of correct eating, that do understand that this is not a healthy lifestyle. All of this, and things are changing. But the average, what I noticed, for example, I was standing in line a couple of times, I was looking what people are buying. A lot of people are buying pre-prepared food, something you just stick in a microwave or throw in the oven for 20 minutes and you're done. You know, that's not cooking. My dad actually, you know, being a professional chef, my dad basically, you know, and I want to talk about that in a moment as well, but what's going on with my dad. But my dad basically turned around to me and said, listen, do me a favor, you know, he has a very, very hard time because of his illness. My mother's apparently very, very sick as well. And this is something I didn't know. And I actually also went to see where my dad lives, and I saw the synagogue, and they needed a lot of help there, a lot of help. I mean, the community itself, the synagogue, and the house, which is part of the synagogue, needs a lot of renovation. I was actually kind of shocked. I almost cried when I saw it. Mm. You know, and we might talk about this some other time a bit more into detail, but
sure.
this place was crashing. My dad stepped in, worked really, really hard to bring it back on its feet. But they need a lot of help there. So if there's anyone out there that has any ideas, or anyone we can, you know.
Where is this synagogue? Whereabouts is it?
It's in Jersey City. Mm-hmm. I will post pictures on Facebook of the exterior and the interior. It's actually a very, very old synagogue. It's one of the oldest in Jersey City. Mm-hmm. My dad actually received it as a dump, literally a dump. And he worked very, very hard to bring it back up to something reasonable. And I walked in, and it was just amazing. It reminded me of the synagogue I grew up in. It was just this old-style European synagogue. It was pretty cool. But we can do a whole thing about that with pictures and everything. I'll probably even try to post a quick video of of the interior and everything, and maybe even have my dad say something, and film my dad, or at least his voice, and he can say some of the history and everything.
That would be wonderful. If you could get Rabbi Shlomo to do something like that, I'm sure the listeners would appreciate it, and those who have subscribed to Hebrew in Israel on the page on Facebook.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll do that, because this place really needs a lot of help. And, you know, if we can get this place up, it can also really help my dad. But I just sidetracked to something else. What I was talking about,
the condition of the synagogue. Let me just, before you do talk about that, let me just say to the listeners, if there is anyone near the Jersey area who feels that they may be able to be of assistance, can they email you at HebrewInIsrael@gmail.com?
Yeah, you can email me, and I'll just reference you back to my dad. We'll see what we can. I mean, really. Really, the big issue is if there's anyone who can do, you know, renovation work and construction work that can go in. I mean, my biggest concern is at the moment, my biggest concern is the house itself. It's in really, really, really bad shape. But my dad has to live there because it's part of the work.
Mm-hmm.
But
so if there's anyone near the Jersey area that may be able to be of assistance, we thank you in advance. The email address, once again, is HebrewInIsrael@gmail.com. You can contact Yoel there. So how is Rabbi Shlomo?
Diabetes is being very, very rough on him. He's not doing very well, to be very frank. He's not doing well at all. It's very, very hard on him. He's a type 1 diabetes. With really, really hard side effects, insulin dependent. He's looking actually healthier. One thing I do know is he actually is looking a bit healthier from talking with my brothers and hearing what they have to say. I mean, remember, this is the first time I've not been together with my family for over 12 years. So this is the first time I actually see them in natural habitat. Because in Israel, for example, my father came over, he was on my diet. He was on what I feed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was a lot better in general, but here in the United States, again, also the type of diet, the food. I mean, you walk into a store. I mean, I've never seen, you know, it's ridiculous. I walk in packaged tomatoes in a plastic bag, and it's unheard of in Israel. It's naturally grown in Israel. There's very, very little GMO in Israel, as far as I know. So it's very difficult. I'm working really hard on it. I mean, this was supposed to be a vacation. It's not really a vacation. I'm taking care of my dad, and I'm very, very, very tired. Not only because of jet lag, it's very, when you're dealing with a person who's ill, you really have to be there for him. So my brother and I are working very, very hard. We're trying to help him as much as we can. He's okay most of the time, but there are moments where, you know, he suddenly grabs your arm and you have to hold him up. And my dad's not. This is not a small person. So luckily enough, my brother and I were both. You know, we both work out. Both, you know, weightlifters and stuff like that. So we're strong enough. But it's very, very difficult for him. And the big scare was, and this is something I discovered last night, was my mother was very, very sick as well. So this is by no way a vacation. This is me being able to do the one commandment I you know, whining about wife throughout the years that I can't be there for my parents. You know, I'll tell you a little story, a very, very quick little story, but a very, very intense one. I get an email from my mother a couple of years ago about something about my dad resting and in the nice house in the mountains. He's taking a quiet time. I say, okay, that's cool. My dad's having a nice time. A couple of days later, my dad calls me up. And I say, oh, how are you doing, everything? He says, so you know what happened? I said, I have no idea what happened. And he says to me, I was in hospital. And I went silent, and he explained what happened. My dad had a major artery 90% blockage. And, right. You know, that's very, very scary, because that's something that can actually kill. I mean, I know people, doctors basically, the moment they discover this, they tell the person, don't even move. You know, the moment they even this in the chair, they don't even move. We've got a goodie and, you know, get you out of there. Mm-hmm. And they took him into surgery. You know, so this is really what I'm dealing with. I can't be there for my parents now. I can immigrate to the United States because my wife's an American citizen, but it's not feasible because my home, my life, my entire world is in Israel, and that's that. I hold to be there. This is where I should be, but it's difficult. So this is why I kept on thanking everyone that I helped out to come over. You know, there are a few people I know specifically, people that, you know, contacted me directly. There are a few people that didn't. You're hiding them from me, which is perfectly fine. But again, to all those people, you have no idea how grateful I am. Or maybe you can, you know, more or less know how grateful I am that I was able. You know, it's not an issue of visiting the United States. It's not an issue of being touristy. And I haven't gone out to see sightseeing or anything. What I've been doing is literally 24 hours a day being there for my parents, being there, you know, for my family, and this is a, you know, I'm going to be very, very tired when I get home.
But like you said, this is something that you have to do. And so once again, we do thank the listeners that enabled Yoel to be able to go and do this, because it's been I think over 2.5 years since you've actually seen your father, and it's been
more than 3 years.
More than three, so it's great to be able to bless him with the opportunity to be able to go over and enable him to bless his parents, as is the commandment to honor your mother and father. Like you say, you're not going to be able to stay there, and what little you can do while you're there is keeping you very, very busy. So once again, let me just put it to the listeners, anyone in the Jersey area that may have it on their heart to be able to contribute to the synagogue in Jersey and help out Rabbi Shlomo and his wife, Yoel's mother and father, we would love to hear from you because they're obviously going to need some ongoing assistance. And if it lays on your heart to do so, you can certainly contact Yoel at HebrewInIsrael@gmail.com, HebrewInIsrael@gmail.com. That is that, my friend. What else before we go, what else is news for you as far as visiting America, an Englishman in New York? Have you been an Englishman in New York yet?
Not yet. I'm actually doing that next week. I'm meeting up with one of my students, you know who you are, they're going to show me around New York as well. The next day I'm going to New York as well. I mean, I really have next week, I really have Sunday and Monday. Monday I'm going down with my brother, probably my mother as well. I want to treat my mother to something nice, if we can have something fun for her to do. Depends if she feels well now, because my mother has asthma, and she had a very, very, very hard case of the flu, something, because it triggered her asthma, and she's on she's basically on drugs at the moment. She could barely breathe when she was able to function during the wedding. But we almost had to, you know, support her during the wedding ceremony itself, because of how she was feeling. The moment it was over, we started running around looking for her inhaler. She was feeling terrible. It was pretty hard. But she's better now. She's in a warmer place now. We moved her to a warmer place and cleaner place, and she's better now. But she's still very ill. But anyhow, I'll be down in New York on Sunday. I'll be showing around a bit. I'm going to spend time with some people. Thank God my parents actually have very, very good friends around in the United States, and people that they knew from other areas they lived in. So they're not alone. It's just an issue of, you know, as a family member, it's easier to do certain things. Part of the problem with people with diabetes is it slightly affects their ability to think sometimes. And if it's a harsh case of diabetes, so they tend to, they tend to be a bit more, or slightly slower sometimes, and
cloudy. It's as if a cloud has settled on their thoughts, and it's not so clear.
Yeah, they're easily agitated, and it makes them very, very frustrated because they can't think. They're trying to do a very, very simple function, and for example, problem resolving is a bit of an issue sometimes. My father's a very, very smart man. And it's pretty amazing that I've seen other people with diabetes like this, and they can't do what my dad does. But it still has its toll because he gets very tired easily. You know, it's very difficult to see it when you're 24/7 around it.
Well, it's just as well that you're there, my friend, and I hope that you. I have no doubt you'll be of benefit to them while you're there, and let's hope that benefit will continue on. Once you have to go back. How is everyone back in Israel, by the way?
Everyone's okay. It's amazing. My wife is actually it's not amazing. My wife is an amazing person, period. My wife has been able to keep the house up, because usually I'm the one there most of the day. You know, when I'm working, you know, there's still stuff I can do. You know, I do a lot of the cooking, I love the cleaning, the laundry and everything, because my wife works 9 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's amazing. She's just an amazing person. She's been able to keep the house up. But again, the same thing, you know, she's a bit tired. She was dealing with this massive storm. Mm. It was so cold, our baby, you know, Sir Yohanan Halevi, also known, a.k.a.
Oh, he's Sir now, Sir Yohanan Halevi.
Yeah.
Prince Halevi the Fourth, yeah.
Prince is actually slightly sick. He's got a bit of a fever at the moment, but he's okay. He's okay. Abba's about to come. Abba's going to be home in about a week, so
yeah.
Everything's going to be okay.
Well, we miss Prince Halevi the Fourth. We look forward to speaking to you again, my friend, on your return, and we'll get back into Light of the Prophets then. But thank you for giving us an update. We pray that your parents do improve, and like I said, no doubt you are of great benefit to them, and what a wonderful opportunity it is for you to go over there and be supportive. And it's great that that your brother had a wonderful wedding. We praise you for that. That's just marvelous, my friend. So you enjoy the rest of the time that you are there. I hope you have a great time, as we say in Englishman, in New York when you do all of that, because I'm sure that'll make a major impression as well. And perhaps we'll talk about that next time. But
actually there's another small group of people who have to receive my thanks. I actually want to thank all my students, every last one of you guys, for allowing me to cancel all the lessons. I mean, I was planning on teaching a little, and then I came to the realization I can't, so I sent an email out to everyone. And literally, I want to thank every last one of you in public for accepting this putting on the hold the lessons. It's very important to always teach, always continue learning, but this was very, very important. So I want to publicly thank every last one of them.
Excellent. So thank you to the students. Once again, it is HebrewInIsrael@gmail.com if you want to get on the waiting list of Hebrew lessons with Yoel. And of course, Hebrew in Israel is the Facebook page where you can keep up to date with what's going on with Yoel. But he is in the States for the first time, and he'll be back. He'll be back soon enough, which means we'll have Prince Halevi the Fourth back on the program, which is the most important thing, sometime soon. So until then, my friend, we look forward to speaking to you. Thank you for the update.
You're welcome. Thank you for allowing me to update.
Good on you, mate. Shalom.